Welcome back to another episode of BestoCast, and I have a very special return of a special guest. They're back.
Meow.
Yes, it is Bryce the cat. Say hello.
Hi.
I said, don't make me deaf. And Riley and I went and we matter of hours ago, we just saw the whole Shazam damn family, Shazam 2, just a little bit ago, and we were like, let's record a podcast.
Woo, podcast.
You haven't been on for like nearly a year. Let's get you back on.
It has been a very long time.
It has been a long time. Again, warnings for spoilers. If you haven't seen the whole Shazam damn family, we are going to spoil the shit out of it. But however, because of limited time, we're not going to necessarily talk scene by scene. I'm going to assume that you have already seen it for yourself. So if we talk about specific points, just know that we're going to spoil it. And we might spoil the future of something else, because there's a few things that I saw based off of the future of the DCEU. The James Gunn DCEU that kind of stuck out, but we'll talk about that in a bit. So, what do you remember, Riley? Time for you to speak. What was your favorite part?
The unicorns.
The unicorns. You just jumped right to the end.
Yep.
You just jumped right to the end.
I like the unicorns. You,
what's her name? I do have my cheat sheet up in front of me, and I can't remember what's the girl's name. You remember?
Darla.
Darla? Does Darla have a superhero name? Like Mary Marvel goes by Mary Marvel. And
I don't know, honestly.
No? Okay, well, yeah, so yeah, Darla. And Darla gets to drop an F-bomb, but it's a PG-rated movie, so they bleep out her, and they find a way to creatively run around her F-bomb, and she's like, what, 9?
Yeah.
way out of context. We just skipped right
to the end.
Yeah, the unicorns were fun. I lean over to Riley and I'm like, oh, this actually brings a whole new perspective to My Little Pony.
My Little Nightmare.
It's like, oh, I can only imagine what Equestrian Girls was like. And they all hate themselves. Yeah, this deals with the god area, god territory. I mean, it's still at heart, still very much in the vein of Shazam 1. Very lighthearted. Shazam 1 was very, it's kind of skirts around the DC universe. Like you, they do this thing. Okay, so now I'm going to skip to the middle of the movie. They do this thing in the first Shazam where like they talk about the other DC characters, but they always skirt around them. Even in the post, in the final scene, is it the final scene or was it a post credit? I can't remember which, but where like Superman kind of comes in and they cut so that you don't see Superman's head, because at the time, was Henry Cavill in? Was he out? We didn't know. So they kind of cut around so that you just see Superman from the neck down. And they do a similar thing with this. I was actually surprised that they actually do a face reveal later on. Well, the face reveal that they do is hilarious. But yeah, they do a similar thing with Wonder Woman where you never see her face for a really long time. Funny. They brought that gag back, and then that was hilarious. And then they cashed in on that gag.
Yes.
I don't know how much further I want to go. I don't. The context is lost the way I'm describing it. But they introduced the gods of the DCEU. So I like that there's repercussions. So I mean, this is there are repercussions from Shazam 1. I like how an article I read, the Shazam prequel, they called it. Is that a prequel? It's just Shazam 1 and this is Shazam 2. It's not a prequel. But yeah, I kind of find it interesting that there was consequences to Billy's actions in the first one, where he takes the staff and he breaks it in half. And throws it in the garbage, apparently, of which it's discovered in the garbage. There was it described that, I guess, they couldn't crush it. It broke the machinery.
They were talking about that.
Like it broke the dump trucks or broke the compactors or whatever. And it ends up in Athens, Greece, of all places. Mm-hmm. And that's where we get the, what was their specific name? I know the one was Daughters of Atlas, but are they all Daughters of Atlas?
I'm pretty sure they were all the Daughters of Atlas.
Okay. I know, or the sisters that I think weren't they referred to? They were the sisters.
Yeah.
They gain the staff. They bring it back and they force, God, what's his name? I just know the old wizard.
The wizard.
The old wizard.
Did they even like give him a proper name?
I don't know.
Or did they just call him the wizard the whole
time?
They
might have called him the old wizard or whatever. Which, we were all like, we were both leaning him like, I thought he was dead. I thought he was dead. How can he be here? And then it comes out that there's a plot line that even the whole Shazam damn family thought he was dead. Or at least Billy did. I guess the other guys never really.
Yeah, they never met him.
Never interacted with him. Oh, he's just he's Shazam.
Okay, yeah.
Because they're all Shazams. The worst part of Shazam is that you're the power, the thing that gives you and gives and takes away your power is your name, and you can never say your name. So it ends up that he's alive and he's forced to reassemble the staff and the Daughters of Atlas. Actually, looking here, Heather Murren. And Rachel Ziegler, and I assume Lucy Liu. I don't see her name. Lucy Liu as Calypso. They all have the credit of Daughter of Atlas. So they are all the Daughters of Atlas. That answers that. I questioned it because like Shazam is a combination of the five, six gods. Don't have me recite the. It's the powers of Solomon. The powers of Saruman. I tried to say it wrong, and I still screwed it up, and I said it right. that's Solomon's the only one. I don't know. I can't even. I'm not that smart enough to actually like break down the Shazam acronym to. So then there's the H, Hercules. There's two A's. The first one's probably Atlas.
Well, Zeus is one of them. Zeus. They said that would be at the end of the movie.
I'm surprised this isn't spelled out on the cheat sheet. Oh, God. Tune into a podcast featuring two geek people talking geek stuff and don't know their geek shit whatsoever. I think I'm deep enough to say shit now. I can finally get away with it. So, yeah, they kind of force him because the staff was broken and lost his magic. He kind of is forced to reassemble it. And then the Daughters of Atlas, because basically where they're from, the godly earth, the god plane that they're from was actually severed from the from Earth. And while the old man Shazam was alive and the staff remained solid, the magic, the spell, the incantation prevented them from ever crossing planes. So that was kind of the plot lines. They're trying to escape the plane. And some have, one of the daughters has more of a devious plans than the other, which was kind of nice. Again, I'm going to jump to the end, but I'm like, you know, you sound a lot like Hades. This sounds like something that Hades would want.
Okay, so the S is Solomon, H is Hercules, the A is Atlas, Z is Zeus, the other A is Achilles, and the M is Mercury.
Achilles and Mercury. I probably would have fallen short on Achilles and Mercury. those are the powers of Shazam. Shazam is an acronym. So if we ever do a Mr. Lobo Does More Internet Acronyms, well, this isn't an internet acronym, but just an acronym in general, it would be Shazam.
So Solomon was wisdom. Hercules was strength. Right. Atlas, stamina. Zeus, power. Achilles was courage. And Mercury was speed.
They reference the larger DCEU, where it's like, you know, I can run fast and I have a lightning bolt and so does he, which is referencing Barry, but they're still kind of skirting around it because I still feel like they didn't know whether or not Ezra Miller, can you check that for me so I can keep talking? I think it's Ezra Miller that plays Flash. They didn't know whether or not he was going to be a part of the universe, so they kind of,
yeah, Ezra Miller.
Okay, I got good. See, My 46-year-old brain still came up with that, but I couldn't tell you what Shazam meant. so they make references to that. Well, they've made references in the first movie to Batman and obviously Superman, but like they had the Batarang and they had the bullet that was shot at Superman in the first movie. Do you like this better than the first movie? Which is better? If you were to rank this,
I feel like I generally always like the first movies
better.
I don't know, I don't really know what it is about them. I just like being introduced to something new, getting to learn about characters, and then being able to continue that with the second story. But there's just something about the first one that just,
right, but this kind of further explain the Pantheon that deals with, it not only deals with Shazam, but it actually deals with the whole DCEU as well.
Yeah.
Like they have, there is implied impact to the DCEU, which is kind of weird. Now, I don't know if you know this, but you know, our podcasters may know this from the episode when James Gunn announced that he's rebooting the universe, rebooting the DCEU. So it's Shazam takes place. He says, basically he says Shazam was always, when you take in the premise of the movies, he always kind of exists outside of the DCEU. Like, he references it, but you never really see a solid reference. You finally get one solid reference in this movie, but you never really get a solid reference to whether or not he's attached to the rest of the DCEU. So he said, you know, like, this was going to be a part of... Like, I kind of feel like he said something like he's like kind of a transitional, but he kind of left it up there of whether or not there was going to be more Shazam in the new movie, the new universe. Because he said, like, then there's Aquaman 2, and he's like, Aquaman 2 is a part of the old universe. So it sounds like once the reboot happens, Aquaman's either going to recast Aquaman, or they're going to transition him, and might be just a little bit different. I heard in the rumor tree that they were like talking to Jason Momoa might play Lobo the Bounty Hunter. And I'm like, he would be awesome as Lobo the Bounty Hunter, but he's also fucking Aquaman.
Yeah.
like I don't know about this whole, even if it's an alternate universe, I don't know about this whole dual role thing.
Yeah.
And then they said with Flash is the end of the old DCEU and the start of the new DCEU, which we saw the Flash trailer in the movie, and you get the drool all over myself, Batman 89. We get Michael Keaton back as Batman, as the Batman. We get it's never really explained, but we get the events of Man of Steel, where Superman is not, for whatever reason, Superman never came to Earth. So we get Kara-El, which is the cousin of Superman. Spoilers, but if you've seen the trailer, you know, this was the thing that I was saying, I'm probably spoiling something outside of Shazam, but yeah, that we get all this. I mean, if you watch the Super Bowl, this damn commercial was played during the Super Bowl, and it's like, oh, this sucks with the whole thing with Ezra Miller and the shit that he's going through, and the fact that, you know, he still gets to have a movie career where Henry Cavill is kind of booted out of the DCEU kind of sucks. But it's also, it's business. You got to look at it from the business end, and they already flushed the Batgirl movie. I highly doubt, for as expensive as that Flash movie looks, I highly doubt that they can flush it. But anyway, I derailed to we're talking about Shazam, not Flash, damn it. So anyway, the Flash thing is the end of the old universe, and then it's the carryover of the new universe. However, there is a lot in Shazam, and I know, like, Shazam originally was supposed to come out in December, and it got pushed back to March. And I kind of feel like there's stuff in there that was seeded that I kind of feel like Shazam will be back in the DCEU. You got that impression as well?
Yeah. I kind of felt that they weren't...
They're not
just
done.
They weren't just going to drop it there, especially at the end when, you know, right, they brought him back. I feel like if they were just going to drop it, they would have just left him.
Spoilers, he dies.
Yeah.
He sacrifices himself for the greater good and saves Philadelphia. Represent Philadelphia, by the way. Represent Philadelphia and the Philadelphia Phillies. Holy shit. We get the Philadelphia Phillies.
We're really jumping all over the place with this.
However, I'll try to get the train back on the track. But I do want to derail this a little bit longer, because having lived in Philadelphia for 2 years and walked all over Philadelphia, including up to the Lincoln Financial, Citizens Bank Park, walking to South Street, walking to Old City, walking all over Philadelphia. And when they're doing things and they're fighting demons and stuff in Old City, and then they walk to the Citizens Bank Park, and I'm like, yeah, they're not doing that in like 5 minutes without their superpowers. That does not happen. This movie I could identify with more than like if a city that something that takes place in New York City or whatever, because it's like I'm not as familiar with New York City versus living in Philadelphia for 2 years. But now to try to put this damn train back on the thing, he sacrifices himself to save the citizens, save the world. And this is where we finally get Wonder Woman, and we see Wonder Woman. They skirted around not being able to see her face in earlier on in the movie, and then towards the end we finally get to see her face, and she brings him back to life. Spoilers, but she brings him back to life. I know I say that all the time, but just in case people skip around or whatever, you should know if the title says Shazam, the whole Shazam damn family on it, that I'm going to spoil it, but yeah. And then he has a crush on her anyway. So how about this connecting to the Black Adam? Because Black Adam is supposed to be a part of this and stuff. And how do you think of how do you feel about this versus Black Adam? I know I never really expressed my opinion between this and the original, but I'll try to get back to that.
I don't know. I didn't really.
Did you even like Black Adam? What was your thoughts about Black Adam? Yeah. See, that's my thoughts. Like, it's not as bad as everybody made it out to be.
Yeah.
But it's not that good either.
Yeah. Like, if I was going to sit down, I probably wouldn't, like, outright, like, pick it to watch again.
And I think Black Adam gets a bad rep because people don't want to see it and I was in the same train of thought where it's like, I don't want to see it because they picked specifically Dwayne Johnson, and Dwayne Johnson only ever plays Dwayne Johnson whenever he's in anything. But that aside, I think that people were picking that apart because he's playing a kind of a self-centered character, but Black Adam is a self-centered person to begin with. Yeah. So like, even though that's not far from the Rock persona, it's kind of what Black Adam's all about too. So you think that this is above or below Black Adam?
Above.
Above? I mean, you probably watch this more than you would ever watch Black Adam. I mean, would you ever watch Black Adam again?
I mean, I probably would watch it, like, again, but I feel like not for a while.
Right. And this deals with a post-credit scene. And this post-credit scene ties back to what would be James Gunn's DCEU. But it's stuff that was in Black Adam. So it's kind of confusing because they're kind of saying, well, Black Adam doesn't exist because the post-credit scene, did you see the post-credit scene to Black Adam where Amanda Waller sends Superman to take him on? They're like, oh, I gotta keep you in control or whatever. And that was kind of, and it's Henry Cavill, Henry Cavill Superman. And then, like, this was spoiled for me because this dropped on a Friday, and Henry Cavill had it on his Twitter. I'm back in the DCEU. And it was like, it was a post-credits scene. So this was spoiled day of for me. And then I think like a week later is when James Gunn's like, yeah, he's fired. We're scrapping all that stuff and we're retooling the DCEU. But this is where it's confusing because Amanda Waller is in control of the Justice Society in Black Adam. The Justice Society appears in Black Adam. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And the post-credit scene, the two, I can't remember their names, but they were in Suicide Squad and they were in Peacemaker. They are sent to recruit Billy Batson to the Justice Society by Amanda Waller, which makes this all come around to what was expressed in Black Adam.
Yeah.
And this is where I'm like slightly confused because I'm like, does that count anymore? Like, does Black Adam even count anymore? I mean, or is it just that the whole Superman versus Black Adam doesn't count? I mean, I don't know if they ever said, I don't think they ever said Dwayne Johnson is fired from any future films. They just said that there's no more, they're not planning on any sequels to Black Adam.
I honestly.
did I lose you?
Have no idea.
I mean, I would think that with the movie being delayed, they would just omit that scene. They would just—it's a mid-credit scene. They would just get rid of it, right? Yeah. So if it doesn't count, if Black Adam doesn't count, why would they make reference to it? Or if their plan was that Amanda Waller was always going to have control of the Justice Society, you know, Black Adam is out, but this counts. I'm probably confusing yourself because I'm starting to confuse myself. but yeah, this is kind of thing. And then they go back to the whole post-credit scene with the whatever. I can't think of his name, but he's a caterpillar and the baddie from the first film. So apparently that, because a lot of people's like, oh, well, he's not in the sequel, so that maybe he's not going to be, you know, maybe that's all gone. But the way that plays out, that's still a thread.
Yeah.
It's either a thread or it's a joke because of, oh, I'll be right back. And it took 2 years for that creature to set this up.
How did you feel about Steve?
Which one was Steve?
The pen.
Oh, Steve the pen. That was hilarious. And the magic paper, which they apparently have limited resources of, and he's just throwing it out. And the pen is literally dictating every word yeah. they're saying. And what's her name? Is Hespera's reading the letter that Steve dictated from Billy Batson that has all their commentary and their pauses and, you know.
Yeah.
What is a Gatorade? Is this going to be a weapon to be used against? Like, this has a lot of the humor. This has a lot of the humor of the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that it does well with the humor. And this was another point that I actually did want to make on the podcast, where I think this is where humor is used well.
Yeah.
Because the gods are out of touch. So they don't understand. Like, they don't understand what Gatorade is and thinks it's a weapon. Ha ha. That's funny. And that the superheroes themselves are children. So their interpretation, you know, the way they do things is it has a kind of a funny slant versus, say, like Thor Love and Thunder, where they decided that all characters are Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
And they don't use the humor properly. Like in Thor Love and Thunder, I would rather have seen the gods be out of touch. Like, the humor comes from the gods not being in touch with what humans have to go through. So the humor kind of comes from that schism between the two of them.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what I wanted in Thor Love and Thunder, I got in Shazam Fury of the Gods, the whole Shazam damn family. And I like that, you know, because in Shazam, in the first Shazam, we don't really get the Shazam damn family until the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And this one, you get to explore more with the family. You get to see more with Mary Marvel. You get to see more with the other characters.
Mm-hmm.
They do a little joke where they call Billy, was it Shazam Jr. or his All Power Man Jr.?
Yeah.
Which is kind of a joke because that character, Frederick Freeman in the comics, that Shazam is Shazam Jr. So they kind of did a little play on that. That kind of stuck out with me. I was like, oh, I get that. I get the reference for a comic book I never read.
Steve the Pen.
Steve the Pen. Is that your favorite character? What's your favorite character? Freddy. Or item? Freddy? You don't like the dragon.
Well, I like the dragon, yeah. But, like, I don't know. He's just a dragon.
But he's a dragon made of wood.
He's a tree dragon. He's a tree dragon. Cute.
How many times do you ever see a tree dragon?
Well, never.
Never.
Because dragons breathe fire and trees are flammable, so yes. I don't really know.
Well, Billy said he was his own walking conundrum.
Yeah.
But it's magic. So it's magic fire and it's a magic tree. And he was made of moss, so if you fall on him, you don't get injured, according to you.
Hey, moss is springy. I like moss.
Like, moss is springy. They threw him into the pit. And she's like, oh, well, that's not good. They landed on moss. Moss is springy. They're safe. They were safe.
They're
and
fine.
And I'm like, yeah, but that rock is also covered in moss. And they're like 3 inches from it. I don't know how springy moss is on rock.
I don't know. I feel like if you fall on a rock, you're kind of.
They did more with Old Man Shazam. Can I say that actually? Old Man Shazam. I like what they did with him. You got more out of him. I still think it's ironic that he's in this, and then he's also in Captain Marvel, which Captain Marvel used to be Shazam.
Yeah.
I got that backwards. He's in this, and he's in Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Shazam used to be Captain Marvel, but legally yeah. they can't call it Captain Marvel. They got to call it Shazam. I guess. Got to get my facts right. Personally, I think Shazam 1 was probably pretty tops. Shazam 2, pretty good follow-up. I liked it. I enjoyed it. I had a lot of laughs. Not a lot of I laughed a lot at Thor: Love and Thunder, but then it's like you go rewatch that, and it's more like pity laughs sometimes. And Black Adam, I don't know, would really rank on this. One more thing I want to say before we went out, and this, we were talking about this in the car, is that the whole thing with the whole Shazam damn family is that they're adult versions of themselves. And the only one that really portrays that is Mary Marvel. Mary Marvel is the same actress when she's in her Shazam form as everything else. And these young actors are getting older. And so at what point do they actually play themselves versus, let's see here, what's his name? Not Zachary Asher Angel. Asher Angel. There's no T, so it's Asher. Asher Angel does not look like Zachary. So at what point, you know, when he's actually like, what, in his 20s or whatever, and he's still playing this role.
Yeah.
He's not really, like, he doesn't look like that. That's not the adult version of himself. And a lot of, like, you get a little past when you get to, like, the little girl and stuff. But, like, all of them are getting older.
Yeah.
And it's weird where Mary still plays Mary as the Shazam version versus...
I guess, yeah, like, at what point do they stop being...
I mean, because the next, do they do a Shazam 3 or they do a Justice Society, or they're already past that age threshold.
Yeah, they're going to be older, so...
And, I mean, Zachary, on his end, he's always going to be older, too.
Yeah.
You know, he's always going to get older, so, you know, is he going to do, he's, when young Billy goes into the older Billy, does he just become old man, like... older man? No, he's not as old as old man Shazam, but younger older man Shazam. Middle age Shazam.
Midlife crisis Shazam.
Got a pot belly and crow's feet.
Male pattern baldness.
There was a joke that was in there. I laughed out loud, then I felt bad that I laughed out loud because maybe that wasn't meant to laugh as hard as I did. But when they all came out as being superheroes, the one boy actually came out as being
Pedro.
Pedro. And I laughed because I already knew that Pedro was a gay character to begin with. He, just within the film itself, they already drop hints in Shazam 2. They dropped hints in the first Shazam where they all teleport into the strip club and he's like, it's not my thing, you know. But I laugh because they all admit to being the superheroes. And he's like, I'm gay. And he's like, that.
Yeah.
And I'm laughing. I'm laughing a little bit too, like, because I heard like only my voice in the whole in the whole theater. And I'm like,
Good for him. Good for Pedro. Him.
Yeah, that's what you said. I'm like, because you said that at that point. I'm like, you didn't know?
No, I mean, obviously, you know, but it's kind of the thing where
it was really subtle.
You don't really say something when you know somebody's
right
gay, because it's kind of
right. Well, it was always subtle with him, because like even in this in the opening, like the thing was like they're watching a Phillies game, go Phillies, and he's he's like looking at a kind of a more, I don't want to say erotic, more like it's kind of like a Sports Illustrated, one of the Phillies players with their tops off. Was his top even off, or was
he was shirtless?
And he was kind of like pining over, kind of like running a finger over or whatever. I don't exactly recall, but there was a hint that he was kind of liking this image. And I think it was played for laughs, but then he was like, he kind of backtracks what he said, and all the rest of the family's like, we know.
Yeah.
It's not anything that you had to come out about.
Yeah. But, I like Pedro. Pedro's a good character.
Yeah. I suck at dodgeball.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see you next year. We'll see you in another year. And that has been another episode of Best of Cast. Chat us up wherever you can chat us. You know, encourage Riley to come back and make more appearances. Say bye.
Bye-bye.
See you later.